A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 210. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about astronauts. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Yes, Astronauts was an ITV series that ran in 1981 through 1983 with two series for a total of 13 25-minute episodes. It was a comedy set in the near future on a space station with a very claustrophobic setting dealing with the astronauts interacting with each other.
Yes, the situation, as you say, being the claustrophobic space station, and a show that's been described as sort of the goodies in space. The goodies being a very popular comedy series on British television. We'll get to that later on in our production notes and how the creators of this show were part of the goodies.
Yes, that's right.
So the setup, as we've said, is a British space mission. It is the British Aeronautical Space Programme, who have put three astronauts and a dog into space. They're going to be on a space station orbiting the Earth, and the plan is to keep them up there to break the record for the longest space flight in history, which I believe is stated at somewhere around 6 months, currently held by Russian astronauts. And that's the sort of aim of this British mission. Of course, they've got other bits and pieces to do while they're up there.
Yes, they have experiments they're doing and various things like that. They also have a bunch of TV cameras pointed at them. So they have the media of the world looking at them almost all the time. And inevitably, they struggle to get along. They're always squabbling, and they're not always focusing on the various experiments that they're supposed to be doing and so on.
Yes, it wouldn't be a British comedy show, I suppose, if they all got along. So yes, as you say, there'll be squabbles and fights, and their attention will be taken away from the experiments and the purpose of the mission. And of course, things will go wrong in many ways aboard this space station, and mayhem will ensue, and with it will come the comedy of the show. So yes, it's an interesting show. It's as I said, the goodies in space, comedy up there on a British space station.
Yes, that's sort of the heart of it, is that you have this group of people struggling in this confined space while trying to get the job done.
Okay, so let's talk about this group of people who appear to have been specially selected not to get along with each other. We'll start with the commander of the mission, Malcolm Mattox, played by the actor Christopher Godwin. Mattox is an RAF test pilot with a long lot of experience as a pilot. And he's very British. He's very stiff upper lip. He is, if I say Biggles in space, I think you'll get the idea of this character. He's rather pompous at times and thinks there's a certain way of doing things. But of course, as things go wrong, some of his character traits will unravel as the show progresses.
He's the military one of the bunch, and it shows. Dr. Gentian Foster, played by Carmen de Satoy, is the medical officer. She is a Cambridge academic, very focused and calm, and whenever things are getting stressful for her, she sits down and meditates. So she is very much the logical, unemotional character, and she is, from time to time, even referred to as Mrs. Spock, which tells you something about the character.
Yes, absolutely. You'd sort of, I suppose, predict that reference would come up. And of course, she's also a very attractive astronaut. And the actress Carmen de Soto, I believe, had a minor role as a Bond girl in one of the Bond films before this. You know, having a woman in space with two men inevitably leads to some sort of conflict and interest about how they will all get on.
Yes, of course. The third character is the technical officer, David Aykroyd, played by Barry Rudder, who is responsible for fixing things that go wrong and working with the electronics and things on the station, and some of the experiments, as they're all sort of involved with experiments to one level or another. And he is the plain-speaking Yorkshireman who is prone to outbursts and defy authority. He's sort of the argumentative one who gets on everyone's nerves and everyone gets on his nerves.
Yes, he is the sort of grit in the oyster in many ways that provokes a lot of the conflict on this space station. An interesting character. So that's the three up in space. Down on the ground, we've got Mission Control, and we have the mission controller, Colonel Lloyd Beadle, a former NASA astronaut. We're told in the first episode that he has to be an American astronaut because the mission controller has to be an experienced astronaut, and of course there aren't any Brit astronauts up until this point. And he's the link and the go-between with the crew down on Earth. For some reason, he is codenamed Pooh, and the crew of the space station are referred to as Piglet, in a little sort of British in-joke, I suppose.
They get into that at one point. They talk about they have to base them on British characters, so they went with the Winnie the Pooh references.
That's right. And Lloyd Beadle is played by the actor Bruce Bower, and it's another Canadian actor along in the long line of Canadian actors playing American for British TV. I don't know what it is, Brian. We perhaps couldn't afford American actors or something.
Maybe. There end up being a few from time to time.
Yeah. And of course, we've also mentioned that there's a dog with them, Bimbo the dog, played by Bimbo the dog, who is the fourth member of the crew, and of course leads to some comedy about what you do on it with a dog on a very confined space station, various jokes about walkies and putting the dog out as well.
Yeah, plenty of odd things about whether the dog is really an experimental subject. At a couple points, if he's going to be an important crew member or various little things like that.
That's it. And that is, in fact, almost it for speaking parts in this show. Apart from the journalists in the very first episode, there's not many other characters who actually get speaking roles as the show progresses. You might spot the actress Patsy Rowlands, who played Kinvig's wife in that show, Kinvig. She turns up as Malcolm Mattock's wife down on Earth, and she'll appear at various times through the two series. But apart from that, it's a very sort of like tight unit. Not many actors, not many speaking parts, Brian.
Yes, that's definitely the case in this one. So the crew are clearly an ill-matched group of people that tend to clash on personality all the time, and you end up with Maddox being very blustery and sort of bossing people around because he's the commander, and having a very sort of military approach to things whenever he can, where Aykroyd wants nothing of that and is always joking around and complaining, and you know, you have lots of things with comedy based on that.
And Dr. Foster tells them off and then retreats to her bunk to do yoga and meditate. And as you say, we've got these three ill-matched personalities. And in fact, it's referred to in one of the early episodes that they've all undergone strict personality testing and psychological profiling. And it seems that they've almost selected the three of them in order for them not to get on. And it suggested almost that this might be one of the experiments for the space station crew, one of the experiments they don't know they're taking part in, which is to see how three ill-matched people will get along in a confined environment.
That's a nice idea. I'm not sure if it was intentional, but it is a nice idea.
Yeah. So anyway, there's also the more sort of deliberate experiments, which they know about, and which at various points in the episodes they will try and get on with their detailed experiments that they're supposed to be doing. But inevitably, as we've said, things go wrong, and their experiments nearly always go wrong or get destroyed by another crew member. So they have the problems of that. They've got complaints about the food. So we get lots of, I suppose, typical British humour about bad food. Some of the usual things that we might expect in this situation to provoke the humour.
Yes, definitely. And things are frequently breaking down and blowing up and, you know, sort of going wrong on the station. And then they from time to time see strange lights in the sky and have things that they're wondering about. What are they seeing out there? Are they actually alone? Is there someone else or something else that may have shown up in the area where they are? It isn't clear.
Okay, so that's the mission and, as we've said, the various situations that provoke the comedy, the things that happen to this strange crew.
Well, I read Pooh to the boys every night, and I'll tell you something, I look forward to it more than they do.
That figures.
I think Pooh and Piglet's a bloody marvellous choice. Absolutely spot on.
Whose idea was it, anyway?
It was Valerie's, actually.
Oh, well, listen, no disrespect to your good lady, Malcolm. Valerie's a wonderful wife and mother, and I'm sure the sun shines out of her casserole. But you might have consulted us. I'd have voted for Snoopy and Charlie Brown.
They're American, Aykroyd.
All right, then, Tom and Jerry.
They're American, too. Pooh and Piglet are yours.
They certainly are British to the core.
What about Bill and Ben?
Oh, come on, they really are weird.
Two grown men sitting on the threshold of history and you're carrying on like three-year-olds.
He started it.
How are they getting on with that fault?
Let's talk a little bit about the production notes and get back to the goodies. Because Astronauts was indeed created by two members of the Goodies. And for those of you who are not familiar with them, they were a trio of comedians who were extremely popular on British television in the 1970s. They had a long-running series on the BBC, which ran from 1970 to 1980. And then they switched channels to ITV for 1 year before they finally split up to go and do their various separate projects. And here we have one of the first projects that came after the Goodies. The writers Graham Garden and Bill Oddy, two of the trio, and here they are producing this show, Astronauts.
That's right. And Astronauts was produced by the Wits End Production Company for ATV, which actually became central between Series 1 and Series 2. But in either case, they were producing for the ITV network. Producers Tony Charles and Douglas Argent were on board. They had worked on Fawlty Towers, so some definite comedy experience there, and they were now producing this show.
Yes, and the comedy experience continues when we discuss the script editors. So we've got two of the Goodies, we've got producers from Fawlty Towers, and then we've got the script editors Dick Clement and Ian Lefrenet, legendary names in British television comedy, particularly for their shows The Likely Lads and Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads. And, of course, Porridge was one of their shows as well, an enormously successful show for Ronnie Barker. So a real pedigree here, Brian, you know, some big names in British television comedy involved in this show.
Yes, definitely big names for comedy and connected to a lot of big shows that are still considered classics.
And as we said, one of the classics, Fawlty Towers, there's Douglas Argent, who was a producer and director on Fawlty Towers, and he's directing, I think, all 13 episodes here of Astronauts. The rest of our production notes, I guess it's fairly limited. We don't know an awful lot more. I'm guessing that this wasn't a huge budget show for ITV. As we've said, it's got this extremely small cast, and it doesn't have many sets to actually to work with. You know, there's a couple of sets up there on the space station, and then we've got Mission Control down on Earth, and that's about it, I think.
That's right. There is a conference room for the press in the first episode, but yeah, that apart from that moment, yeah, it was all the very limited space on the station and the Mission Control.
And of course, some of that is intentional, because they wanted to reproduce this claustrophobic feeling on the space station that provokes so much of the conflict and comedy. But anyway, so there we are. They supplement that with some stock footage of rocket launches, obviously. And then was, I think it's just the one model shot of the outside of the space station, which we see several times, I think, Brian, just floating, hanging there in space. Not incredibly detailed, just, I suppose, a one-off thing.
Yes, that's right. The first series had a total of 7 episodes. They were broadcast from October through December of 1981 on the ITV network.
And must have had some success, because they got a second series. As you've said, Brian, between the two series, the ATV channel becomes, or the ATV production company becomes central. And when we mention the DVD, you'll see the station ident at the start of the program changes before the second series. And the second series took the crew towards the end of their 6-month mission, and it was broadcast from July to August 1983. And when that will wrap up the 13 episodes we've been talking about.
Yes, that's right. So we should talk about the availability of this one.
Well, it is available over here in Region 2. We've got it, at least. Again, we have to give thanks to that company, Network DVD, who brought out a DVD with 2 disc set in 2012, containing all 13 episodes. As ever, it's a fairly stripped down DVD release with only a photo gallery in the way of extras. But it's cheap to get hold of over here in the UK. It's £10 at the moment on Amazon, although I couldn't find it on any of the rental sites. I don't think it's available anywhere else over here. But if anybody knows different, do please get in touch. But of course, across the pond in Region 1, Brian,
there is no release in Region 1.
We should definitely have you on a loop saying that sometimes.
Yes, well, this was a series that I don't think had a lot of international distribution. So it hasn't had a lot in the way of international releases either.
Right.
So next time, we will talk a bit more about astronauts, about some of the things that happened in various episodes, and we will certainly put it in context with other space comedies and other things with comedy and science fiction.
Okay, plus we want to talk about our own views on this show and whether you should find space in your collection for this particular DVD set. So some stuff to talk about when we come back, Brian.
Absolutely. You can find us at BritishInvaders.com, or you can find our Facebook group if you search for British Invaders on Facebook. And we have a nice community with good discussions happening there.
Absolutely. Or come along and join in the community at the Voice of Geeks Network. That's vognetwork.com, where you'll find British Invaders and several other geeky type podcast shows, which go out on their sort of internet streaming radio channels. And of course, if you found us through vognetwork.com, then welcome aboard. Come and join us in the Facebook group.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, it's Eamon in England also signing off.